Lots of seed money for new tech could soon pour from Washington. I'm David Brancaccio. As you've been hearing, the main infrastructure talks between the White House and Senate Republicans have collapsed. But as that was happening, the Senate held a very bipartisan vote on something else that'll shape the country's future, spending big to expand the government's role in new technologies. This is largely with China in mind. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details on that.
Yeah, David, this Senate bill would spend $250 billion over 5 years on research and development of various technologies here in the U.S., including in emerging fields such as artificial intelligence. There's also money for a host of other things, notably for more domestic computer chip manufacturing, along with telecommunications equipment production, and that has to do with next-generation 5G networks. There's also some money for the specific types of chips automakers need, and we know the reason why. Car makers have had to cut back on production because they can't get enough chips. There's a shortage.
Now, the Senate passed this bill 68 to 32. So many on the same page for once.
Yeah, indeed. And make no mistake why. This is about countering China. There is broad bipartisan agreement on that front. Here's Republican Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi just before the vote yesterday.
This is an opportunity for the United States to strike a blow on behalf of answering the unfair competition that we are seeing from communist China. And it's an opportunity to have a game changer in terms of geographic diversity in our research efforts.
And now that the Senate has voted, David, the measure moves over to the House. There are some differences between the two chambers on what they want to do, so they'll have to work that out.
All right, Nova, thank you. An analysis of Fortune 500 companies by Deloitte and the Alliance for Board Diversity finds that white women have made some gains, but overall change is, quote, painfully slow. As Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports, one challenge are sitting directors who tend not to leave.
Board members generally stick around for about a decade, says Yoja Chang, a business professor at the University of Virginia.
I mean, it's very uncommon for someone to be, pushed off of a board.
Most companies do have mandatory retirement ages for directors, but the age of mandatory retirement has crept up, often above 75, because the rules that govern the board are usually enforced by the board.
It would be tough, I would imagine, for a fellow director to vote against keeping somebody there if they wanted to continue serving.
One reason they might want to stay, average compensation of more than $300,000 a year, according to consulting firm Spencer Stewart. But companies face increasing pressure to be more responsive to cultural change, says Peter Gleason, head of the National Association of Corporate Directors.
It's good for a board to refresh itself. It's good to have a mix of tenure on the board.
He says boards usually have the option of simply adding seats to increase diversity, but they rarely do. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And the investigative news organization ProPublica got a hold of what it says is raw IRS data from the wealthiest taxpayers in America and finds the word taxpayer may be a misnomer. Some top billionaires reportedly paid little or no taxes in some recent tax years, benefiting from legal tax avoidance strategies they can afford. This among the top 25 richest, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Michael Bloomberg, the entrepreneur and former New York City mayor, Tesla's Elon Musk, financier and philanthropist George Soros, and Berkshire's Warren Buffett. Critics of America's tax system have long complained it benefits people with assets and penalizes people whose money comes from wage labor. President Biden's Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, has said an across-the-board extra tax on the wealthiest would be hard to put into practice. The IRS is investigating how ProPublica got its data. Could the future of the museum be in the form of a drive-through? In an example of pandemic adaptability, listen to what they're doing with dinosaurs in North Carolina. Cole Del Charco of WUNC reports as part of our Back to Business series.
Imagine Exhibitions had life-size robot dinosaurs in zoos and museums across the country when everything shut down, but no one to go see or hear them. Then came an idea. What about a drive-through dino safari? Within months, a production team put together a slick audio tour, an app, and a website to guide people from the comfort and safety of their cars.
All right, are you ready to begin your adventure into Pangea?
Imagine Exhibition started the drive-through late last year and is now running the tour in three cities across the country. Tom Zoller is the company's president.
So we had the dinosaurs. We had to redo all of our signage. We had to, by the way, I never thought I'd own traffic cones. I now own 10,000 of them.
Imagine has employed stagehands and other entertainment professionals who've been out of work for months. Ticket costs vary by vehicle size. A large SUV costs about $60. And Zoller says the business has been profitable. Still, he's not sure if it will keep it going once all pandemic restrictions are lifted.
It's definitely pandemic driven, right? That's why we're here and why we did it. We're crazy enough to try it. But maybe from this, there'll be some new form of entertainment that's a little, that's new and different, and you don't have to get out of your car. Who knows?
Drive-through exhibits are a tough business bet, says Eric Gordon with the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. But they do offer convenience.
Think of all of the advantages. You don't have to push an overloaded stroller. You don't have to drag a little guy with short legs to keep up with a big sister with long legs who you keep telling to slow down.
And he says drive-through options may be a good bet for a lot of businesses moving forward. In Durham, I'm Cole Del Charco for Marketplace.
Still stuck on the 10,000 traffic cones. Dave Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.